Okay, I'd like to call this meeting to order. If I could get approval of the minutes from October 17th and Hector's meeting on the 18th.
I'll make a motion we approve the ones in the 17th.
No, I'm second.
I wasn't at the one on the 18th. Oh, yeah, I was. Never mind, I'll approve them both.
I was going to say, it's like, what?
I make a motion we approve them both.
There you go.
Dave, second on both.
Sure.
Trying to figure out what they are.
Hold on. Do we actually have a copy of them? Just so you know, the meeting on the 18th was when we approved that one contract that we didn't approve. Remember when you made a motion to adjourn and I seconded it?
Yeah.
Oh, that probably happened. That's okay. I'll stand by that. So, anyway, why don't you try
there was one? Already a motion on the table, and a motion to adjourn can't be made when there's another motion on the table.
I don't think there was another motion on the table, but that's all right, though. Regardless, we did, in fact, adjourn.
Nonetheless.
Anyway, let's actually vote on this resolution, though. On this motion, rather.
Okay, all in favor? Did I say that already?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, we're going to skip to 465. That's approving the extension of the contract in excess of $50,000 entered into the county, and it's for the insurance department.
I'll move it.
Second?
I'll second.
What is this now? What is this?
This is the TPA for...
From the three-year contract.
And we have Miss... we have Miss Whitney here, if you have any questions. Thank you.
Carl. So 465.
465.
That is for the...
Is that workman's comp?
Yeah.
That's the...
TPA.
Jenny, do you know anything about it? Why don't you explain it to us?
It used to be done by workers in the county, and they could ship it up to Rochester, right?
I'm not a Buffalo, actually. I'm through here.
All right, yeah, I'm a no.
We haven't voted yet.
How about a discussion? Hey, Ms. Whitney, do you got anything to add here?
Yeah, it's a statutory form of coverage, workers' comp, and we have to do it one way or the other. We used to do it in-house. We've partnered up with NCA Comp as of the 1st of 14, and things are going really, really well. They've saved us millions, literally, of projected money. So,
how did they save us millions?
What we're doing is we're aggressively settling cases, and that would have remained open for a lifetime of a claimant out of work collecting wage benefits and getting medical treatment that we pay for it anyway. It's about a $10 million, between $9 and $10 million a year budget, and so this is like less than 3% of the whole cost of plan is what we pay to this NCA Comp. We went through a thorough vetting process. We had an RFP committee to assess. It takes, like, with insurance, it's about 5 to 7 years before you can really see a good trend. And we had only had, like, 2.5 at the time we had to start the contract process. So we had an RFP committee. We chose them out of seven vendors. We analyzed everything on cost, price, and if you have any specific questions, we can help with that.
Yeah, I don't doubt you picked the best vendor.
Yeah, they're very aggressive.
But I mean, I believe it can be done in the house, and I prefer the employees to be in Ulster County. That's for a while, but you know.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get that out of the way. Doreen, right? Sorry.
Yes.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm sorry. I meant to say well. So, question. You've been with us for a couple of years now, right?
Yeah, it'll be 3 years at the end of this year.
Okay. All right. By comparison, I guess, to what we used to spend on workman's comp. I mean, do we actually have a ballpark? I realize you don't have the hard numbers.
Oh, I have a lot of it with me. It's close to $9 million a year that we spend for the whole program, and that's.
But remember, I mean, you know, years ago we used to actually have Olden Hill on the books. We used to have.
Any claim that was opened from back then is still the life of the claim. So
okay.
As people die off, literally, I mean, that's not to sound morbid or anything, but okay. As the old claims from the 80s die off, we stop being responsible at that point. So that is getting smaller, but it's taking some time to see the result of that. I was just thinking, too, like the way that the comp programs work, it's three types of expenses. You got your medical bills for the injured worker, your wage benefits for the lost time, from work, and then the administrative is everything else. So now what we're doing is We're aggressively going administratively. It's like the surveillance of some of these old drugs that have been out. We got nurse case managers weaning them off the opioids. So we're able to be more aggressive now than we were. We didn't have the resources before. So it's going well that way. We've been closing out, and I did a quick report. So when somebody gets hurt, we estimate a reserve on that claim. Like, if we think your knee is going to be worth, in the end, $50,000, let's say.
Sure.
So what we're doing is we're settling cases out early at a lesser dollar value than that, just to get rid of them. So in the end, you're saving, future projected dollars. And so medical prices are always on the rise, and wages are always on the rise. We've kept the budget like that. So I think it's working. That's
okay. Carl?
How many people would Dave is suggesting that we could do it in-house, how many people do you think it would take to
We can do it.
I understand that. I'm just asking, how many people?
We had 11 before, and it was barely doable.
Right, because this is a two-year contract. We're going to talk about $386,000.
3 years, actually.
3 years? Yeah. It's mm-hmm. so small, I can't see.
Yeah.
1/1/17 to 1/12/31/19.
Yeah, so it's
a 3 year. 3 year. So it's a lot less. I mean, if you have 12 or 15 employees with ERS benefits and health insurance, you're going to spend a lot less money administering this plan by going with a vendor. So what
that is true.
So why would the county do a better job?
They did the job before. I think they can do the job now.
I think it's dollars and cents.
Well, the other thing, too, is we're out of it now, as far as learning all the laws. And over the last 3 years, the laws have been changing so quickly. And the requirements for electronic data, they're putting penalties out when things are not filed timely. And everything now is done electronically. We have nothing here that would enable us to do it at this point. We've turned it all over to them.
Yeah, I'd say that probably just in payroll alone, payroll and benefits, all right, so that's $257,000 a year. You're talking about 4 employees.
It's my protest vote against privatization. Right?
There were 3 that did it?
We're 3 now.
No, I know, but you're not doing these 31 bullet points that are required to scope the services.
Oh, right. No, we have hands-on. I have authorization to settle anything or do any of that, but we can't. There's about maybe 500-600 new claims every year.
Well, thank you, Ms. Whitney. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for informing us. Appreciate this.
We're going to jump up back to the beginning at 391, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 14 as the pet sellers.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Go ahead, Ken.
I have a number of amendments I'd like to propose.
Do we have them in writing, by the way? Are they already in here?
They're not. I went over them, and I will read them out loud. I needed to use the minutes in order to be able to properly get all of the areas of concern that you had, Legislator Rodriguez. In Section 7, Number 2, page 7. So Section 7, Subsection 2, the provisions of this local law shall be enforced by the department. And then remove the rest of the language about, being concurrently enforced by any duly incorporated animal welfare organization, blah, 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 blah. Section 8, Subsection 2, shall be deleted in its entirety.
Wow. Okay.
Say that again, Ken?
Section 8.
Okay.
On page 7, subsection 2 will be deleted. And in subsection 3, after the words, this local law shall be,
subsection 3.
In section 8, so the next one down. So 2, not all of this, just 2. So 1 is still...
One is still there.
And
2
three
is deleted.
But he said all of subsection 8, which is taken out.
Just 2. So 1 still valid. So 3, apologies.
So any person conducting an investigation of a pet seller, residential breeder, or responding to a complaint concerning a pet seller or a residential breeder pursuant to this local law shall be a county employee specifically trained in the proper care of cats, dogs, blah, blah, blah. So we're adding the words a county employee there.
Okay.
And then...
Now, how are we funding this?
That comes next. Quite frankly, there's not going to be a lot of... there's not going to be a lot of inspections. It's not going to be a new employee. I would imagine that we would train an employee who already works for the health department mm-hmm. to be able to do these, and it would just be added to their job responsibilities. Either that, or it could be a sheriff's deputy who gets the proper training.
That one sounds like more obvious.
All employees really love to have them added duties.
They might get some compensation.
It's also a thing where we do stretch the health department rather thin, but yeah, I got you.
Regardless, I know that the environmental the environmental sanitation division already has training in inspections.
Not put a few extra bucks into there?
I imagine we will when it comes to implementing the local law.
Well, let's see. Let's see what those costs are, and then we'll do it.
Right.
Why don't you continue though? Sorry.
Section 14. It's going to be on page 33, number 3, inspection of residential breeders. Inspection of residential breeders shall be made whenever blah, blah, blah. Any person conducting an inspection of a residential breeder or responding to a complaint concerning a residential breeder shall be a county employee. Specifically,
did you say 14?
Section 14 on page 33.
Section 3.
Subsection
3. Yeah, subsection 3. Yep.
You're there.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and 6 lines down, lines 5 and 6 in that in that section.
Yep.
Shall be, and I deleted it. There was a typo. Shall be a either. I deleted a either. Mm-hmm. Shall be a county. I deleted official police officer, peace officer, and just wrote shall be a county employee, specifically trained the proper care of animals.
Okay, it's good.
All right, so cross out police officer, peace officer?
Yeah.
Well, it could be them.
It could be them, but
it could be them, but we're just going to...
County employee.
Right, we're just going to designate them to be a county employee, and then as we implement it, that's...
So you could have a couple of sheriffs trained in that, you can have a couple of health and people are trained in that, whatever, so nobody's...
Yeah, so it doesn't fall in any one department.
I spoke with Mr. Delaney earlier today, and he provided me with some information on where there's training. And the USDA has a free online course, the Guide to Animal Facility Inspections. ASPCAPro.org has a free online infection control course. So there's a lot of resources that we can use that would be relatively inexpensive for the county or not cost the county, and we'll be able to teach our employees how to do these inspections. So I know that this is going to provide people with some peace of mind when it comes to who's going to be doing the inspections.
Canine officer would be...
We have a couple of the sellers here. Would we be able to get some comments from them?
Of course.
Up to the chairman, of course.
Right now we're discussing the amendments only.
You want to vote on the amendments, and then we can talk about
the whole thing?
Well, we can vote on the amendments. I'll second the amendments.
Is that all?
Yeah.
All in favor of the amendments?
Aye.
Aye.
They're excellent amendments. I think it may have solved the problem.
We're going to talk about the law as amended.
Mr. and Mrs. Green?
I know that there's... there's been a lot of discussion about this law over the last year. There are a number of people that are very strong advocates of this law, and they believe, and frankly, this law is intended to restrict breeding activity within the county And if you're going to breed, then you ought to follow some care standards. And if you're not going to do it right, don't do it. And so the basic intention is there. There are some people that, frankly, don't want to be regulated. They have said the state allows 25. I don't want you to change anything. Don't change my life. Leave me alone. There are commercial establishments that feel they're already regulated under USDA, and they don't think they need any additional regulation. And so everyone, obviously, there's extremes on all sides of this discussion, all the way from please don't do anything to this isn't nearly enough. And so Mr. Ronk and I have been working over the last year to try and find something where we could walk up the middle of the two extremes, and neither extreme is going to be happy, but it's something that can be done. It's not catastrophic to anyone. It's also, you know, it'll make progress in the direction where the animal rights community wants to make a stronger direction. This is sort of the compromise up the middle, knowing full well there's people on both sides that want a lot more regulation or a lot less regulation. So this is, again, I think the path up the middle. It's not, I think, leaning toward either community in terms of really pressing what either of the other two, what the two basic sides want. It's kind of giving you the middle road.
Can you get something to add?
I just want to, you know, personally thank the Delaney's for all of their for all their help and their hard work and a lot of meetings and phone calls and return phone calls and you know, I think that, you know, it was a real model of what can happen when you just sit down and try to work together instead of trying to just oppose, you know, what the other side wants to do. So I want to personally thank you in front of everybody, because without your help and hard work, this wouldn't have been able to get to the point where it's at. So
I got one question. How much of this law is duplicate of state law that can't be changed?
Nearly all, quite a bit of it. I shouldn't say nearly all of it. A lot. A lot of it is straight out of state law. In fact, one of the concerns that I don't remember if it was Tracy or Richie. I don't remember who it was, but somebody was bringing up, well, why are we working? You know, I think it was Rich Parody. Why are we bringing up the, you know, activity, and why are we bringing up this? And I printed out, I still have it in my office, I think, the New York State Ag and Markets Law Minimum Standards of Care for pet mm-hmm. breeders, and it's all in there on the activity plan and everything like that. So a great deal, especially the standards of care sections, are already in state law.
Anything else?
No, Mr. Chair.
All in favor of sending this to a public hearing?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Hold on.
Ken, there's the minutes, so I forgot.
Oh, thanks.
We're going to skip over 425, and actually we're going to... we're going to do some new business now, so we have Evan Gallo here, the deputy comptroller. He wants to explain the Ulster County Comptroller's 2017 audit plan. He's asked myself and Dave for advice, and you know, it wouldn't be fair to us to give advice without the consent of the rest of the committee. So, Evan,
no, thank you.
Explain your position, and we'll see if we can help you out.
Chairman Roberts was gracious enough to invite me here tonight. I have begun over the last month or so approaching leadership of older committees regarding some input to our 2017 audit plan. So for the last 2 years, we've basically been governing off of a risk assessment survey, which was a questionnaire sent out to every county department that identified some blind spots, some issues that might warrant more of an audit review. This year, I wanted to take sort of a different approach, and in an effort to stay relevant in some of your eyes, glean some feedback. So it's right now in the works, still being developed from members of your committee. I've heard things such as foster care, mental health review, other DSS related items. But there's a lot more out there. So without making any guarantees, we did want to take your advice under consideration and use it to develop what we have going forward in 2017. So either if it's now, if it's in the future, if it's even next year, we just want to be open to hearing what you have to say about this.
We appreciate you coming in. If any the committee members have any comments or any concerns, Chris, to speak up if you need. Dave and Carl.
Go ahead. I got asked to give you my feedback, and I sent it to you. Because one of the things that I'd like to see is, and I thought that I heard from the comptroller this year in one of the committee meetings, I think it was health, that he, or maybe it was a press release, that I think what we need to get a hold of is the biggest cost centers in our contract, you know, our contracts, our county contracts, to do a thorough audit and review of performance, cost. Like, I'll give you an example, and I'm not picking on anyone, but we do hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars of contracts with family. And I haven't seen one performance report on any program they have. I don't know. I haven't seen budgets for them. I haven't seen what they're spending the money on. I know some of these programs that they administer are very sensitive, you know, and some of the data probably isn't for, maybe might be protected under HIPAA laws or you know. And foster care. I mean, I know I did get some feedback from our budget consultants about what other counties are spending for institutionalized foster care. And I just, I can't fathom how it's ballooning. Within the last, like, 2 or 3 years, we spent a lot more on institutionalized foster care. And I understand that these kids are special cases, emotional disabilities, but I don't know. I'd like to see an audit done on all our foster care, because I do know that one of the foster care contracts, we're almost ready to sign the contract and realize that whether it was in between the time that the contract was written and the time it was ready to sign, that this agency lost their license. And by the way, they were an out-of-state agency. So, and we contracted a lot of out-of-state agencies. So I that's my two cents.
Dave,
thanks for listening. Foster care is leading a good charge right now.
What's that?
Foster care is kind of leading a charge right now to being.
Oh, okay. Great.
Well, I would have to you know, echo what Carl said, if that's the case. I mean, if we're increasing those costs, we do have certain programs in line that try to reduce, you know, the need for foster care, but, you know, I'm not sure why they're increasing. You know, I don't know what the trends are. I really don't know. But, you know, I know we have, like, the CASA program that helps that, but that doesn't mean, you know, they're not doing their job. It just means that for some reason there's a higher use. I'd like to know. And we can find out why. My also, I had a thing that I think I talked to you about once before. We have privatized mental health, and the issue on mental health is, you know, I've gotten people that, you know, call me, a number of different people that are saying that, you know, they don't get the care they used to get, and they're concerned about it. So, I mean, I'd like to know, you know, what is happening on that. I mean, I know sometimes we can do a dog and pony show and say, oh, okay, this is how many people are taken care of, but I don't know if, I don't know how to quantitate it, you know, how to actually qualify, you know, if it's better or not. I mean, I really don't know. It's a really tough job to try to do, you know, because mental health is an issue that, you know, it's not so easy to say, oh, it's better now or it's worse now. You know, it's pretty difficult to do that. You know, I'm just kidding. You know, I've gotten people talk to me about it, that they say it's not as good. But I don't know. That could be, you know, They might have said that whether we privatize it or not. You know, I mean, you know, I don't know. You know, but people, you know, it's a subjective thing.
And that I'll say was kind of the problem when I began poking around the past of how do you necessarily quantify or qualify that type of stuff. That, okay, you can identify the X services provided now and later, but to measure the wellness of an individual is kind of a subjective exercise. But that's hearing that from now is something to be edited.
Okay, I got Hector and then Kenny.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I've already sort of shared this list with the Comptroller, but I don't mind sharing it with you. So, for example, one of the things that we have begun ourselves to look at, for example, are sort of like habitually under-hired lines. Now, what do I mean by that? Lines that we continue to basically fund within the county budget but haven't been hired. Like, we identified, I think, at least one line item that hadn't been filled in 3 years. Now, that's part of when you start looking budgetarily as to why we have things like budget savings and personnel. It's basically what we, in essence, used to do in this county, pre-charter, which was to basically go fund a bunch of positions, tax them, and then sort of have that almost for cash flow or budgetary purposes. So, you know, it's sort of one of these things where understanding in the totality of county government how many lines are sort of habitually just under-hired. And I know that there isn't exactly a term for it, so I sort of made one up. I don't know if that really comes across.
How about vacant?
Vacant position.
Well, but they're perpetually and habitually vacant, you know what I mean? It's sort of like one of these things where...
Carried vacancies, yeah.
Carried vacancies, you know. It's just sort of one of these things where we've got plenty of those things. As a matter of fact, they came up during the course of our budget assessment, and, you know, that's one of those things that we... You know, that's taxpayer money that ultimately, you know, yes, we, if we're going to do that, we should be more upfront about it. You know, it's sort of like when we have these moments of magically we suddenly have money, and the reason we magically suddenly have money is because, you know, you've got vacant positions that you already knew were vacant, and you're just sort of maximizing those for, in essence, cash flow purposes. Secondly, for my own part, you know, it comes back down to, analyzing programmatically the stuff that we're spending money on, but do we really know outcomes, right? So Dave harped on mental health, and that's been one of mine for quite some time, as to whether or not we know we saved money, but we don't know if we've actually improved the quality of care, right?
You know, now, and I got, you know, is that the job of the controller's office? He's to figure out whether we save money or not, not to judge what kind of care we're given.
Well, you can still analyze. From my time in the state controller's office, there's always something that you can go and try to figure out. I mean, that's just more about structuring how to go and create that definition of is the outcome improving or not, right? Could be things like, for example, are clients, for example, going to jail more often, right? Because maybe they act up, maybe they're not getting the same level of either medication or staged intervention by a social worker. I mean, there's different things you can set up to kind of create a baseline of whether or not that care is improved or not. But for example, economic development is another one of these sort of things that we fund, and you know, honestly, this is that may almost be too much, because I think it's a statewide issue as to basically whether we're actually judging how do we actually create wealth and how do we judge economic development efforts to be a success. Is it jobs? You know, is it solely jobs? Is it payroll, meaning in terms of is it the increase in median income in the county? You know, is it unemployment numbers? But it is definitely one of these things where we've been funding this thing for as long as I have been a legislator via different organizations. It used to be UCDC. Now it's the, you know, EDA, you know, the IDA, you know, whether or not those programs have been successful or not. But it is sort of a huge gaping sort of just we don't know. And, you know, you basically end up relying upon press releases from the Department of Labor saying that, you know, unemployment, you know, is down. Well, again, that comes back to what does that mean, right? You know, does that mean that people stop searching for jobs? Does it mean that people are basically working seven low-paying jobs in order to basically make ends meet? So, you know,
right.
It's sort
the
of...
The idea is it just welfare to the wealthy?
Or, you know, but even then, are our programs, in fact, delivering, right? So he also gets back to that internal analysis as to whether or not, you know, is what we're doing the right way to go? And we've been debating this, again, for almost as long as I've been a legislator. But this was another big thing that I put out there to Elliot probably 2 weeks ago. So.
Thank you. Kenny?
Just to go back to the foster care, it's not just here. It's actually, you know, regional, at least regionally. I know I spoke with our budget consultant, O'Connor Davies, and they're seeing an uptick in foster care costs to counties all over the Hudson Valley. And one thing that they're attributing it to possibly is the heroin crisis. Arrests and institutionalization, deaths are causing a lot of children to end up in foster care. So that might be a part of it.
I got to tell you, though, what I'm talking about is institutionalized foster care.
I understand.
Care, not foster care of a host family, you know, being a foster parent and then
I understand.
Maybe adopting, you know.
Yeah, you're talking about the ones that cost
the
us.
Figures, yeah, and the figures, I guess, like half a million dollars a kid per year. So
yeah.
It's not even that there's a lot more kids getting into these. It's that the costs have skyrocketed. $500,000 a year for one kid.
Well, that's why the things like the maybe we need more things similar to, I mean, like the CASA program is a program that helps defer that, or at least, you know, prevent it in some ways, but they're not going to prevent it, but they can save, I mean, that's why they saved one kid from going to foster care. We more than got our money's worth out of the program. Maybe we need to take a look at programs that are going to, you know, work on that. I don't know.
I don't want to seem cold, but look at the children's home, okay? Now, they've got programs there, but I'm sure it doesn't cost us $500,000 to have a kid live there at the children's home. But a place that's out of this county and out of the state that we send these kids to, where they have what it looks like to me, and I know I'd love to see some kind of audit on it, a good education they're getting from them, they're getting fed, clothed, they're getting extracurricular activities, therapy, medical, whatever, you know. I mean, years ago, they were called orphanages. That's what they were called. Now they're specialized foster care facilities that are institutions. So are we getting, you know, are we getting, and I don't want to seem cold, I'm just wondering, are we getting ripped off by these?
Well, these are really, these are not your average child going into foster care. These are really, really troubled kids mm-hmm. that need really intense supervision.
Any kid who doesn't have a parent or is not wanted is troubled. I couldn't think of
using a different term for troubled, I think
All right.
You are.
All right. And in that vein, not to get too deep into this, but it's like, but even then though, I'm still going to agree at one level with parts of Carl's overarching part, because I think that there are point rather, because I think there are still things that have transpired where, you know, there may have been some discrepancies. And while there may be small, and while we may, as Ken just said, we are sort of obligated at this point to provide that level of care, it's still worth looking at.
Right, because you can still, in other words, and I understand where you're coming from. I know you're cold-hearted, but that's okay.
Yeah, which is true.
But no, it's, you know, all kidding aside, but I understand what you're saying, because sometimes things get institutionalized the way you do things. And, you know, that alone could sometimes, you know, get so used to doing things a certain way that you're not actually, you're not looking at how effective it is. So, you know, you could be right. It may be something that needs to be done other than that. I mean, you know, prime example is, I mean, we'll use, you know, when they started diagnosing kids with being, you know, having attention deficit disorder, and started giving them all Ritalin. You know, that was the way they started doing it. You know, no, that was the method, that was the thing. And before it became very expensive, by the way, you know, these kids running through these programs. So, I mean, I don't know if that makes a good comparison, but you're right. Maybe we need to take a look at those things. But it's, you know, these are not easy things to dwell into.
Well, on that note, my ADD is starting to kick in, so Mr. Gallo, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I'm good. Go ahead, Chris.
You sure? Because I was going to talk about the jail. No? You want to talk about the jail?
So
Sheriff's Department?
When,
when no. Mr. Gallo was talking about work that they've done with departments, you know, some information has come to me recently, and it was called to my attention by a controller out back, and I heard from some other sources that they did some good work in DPW finding issues with the cataloging of equipment. There was some lost file equipment, snowblowers, that type of thing.
Inventory wasn't easily
traceable.
What was on the floor and then what was on the list.
And in terms of the issues that have been discussed here, I concur with what Legislator Belfiglio says. I think there's an issue overall in government where we have these niche areas that are being where services are being provided in the private sector, and we just don't have enough competition in these types of niche services, and there's a skyrocketing of the cost involved. And when you don't have competition and you don't have choices, then you basically have to pay what is the price that's being offered for that service. And that's the issue with foster care. And I believe it's also the issue that something to look into with the health care plan that we offer to the jail inmates at Ulster County Jail. The company that we dealt with a couple years back, myself, Legislator Bartels, and Legislator Green, we were the only three legislators that voted against the plan because the company was being investigated in multiple states for double billing, illegal billing practices. And it again, it comes down to an issue where there's very few health insurance companies in that industry that provide health care to inmates, you know, on county and state level in correctional facilities. And then it comes down to an issue where there's not enough competition, you know. So those are some of the issues that I think should be looked into. And again, there might not be, the answer might come back to, like what I said, there's not enough competition in the industry, there's not enough players in the businesses, and unfortunately government gets the short end of it.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Controller.
Thank you.
Deputy Controller.
Thank you.
Again, if you got anything further to add, please put it in writing and send it to the Controller's Department.
I was going to put it to Jay.
Or Jay.
She does work.
We're going to get back to resolutions 449, confirming reappointment of a member to the Ulster County Board of Ethics. That's Alan Almeida.
I move it.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Legislator on the Board of Ethics?
I'd like to note in the record that I just want to just confirm that Alan Almeida is in fact still alive before I vote on this.
Yes,
you're talking about the right legislator.
By both these, like twice a week.
Once proof. He and I golf a couple of times a year.
So you've seen him in the
I
flesh.
Have.
Okay.
I saw him on Friday.
Okay, so we verified that he's at least
he is.
Right.
He was alive as of Friday.
As of Friday. All right.
We're going to go to 450, adopt the proposed local
vote on
law.
That? Did
What's that?
No, we didn't.
Did we vote on that?
Yeah. We all voted for Alan, yes. Thumbs up for...
All right, yeah. We're all yes. We're all yes.
49.
Let the microphone flick, we're all yes.
450, adopting proposed local law number 13, amending the code of Ulster County to limit gifts that county officers may receive.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Jay, this is like the worst time ever.
I'm so sorry. Here.
Don't stop.
I just
struggle with it.
Just open up the thing and hear everything. Won't know what the hell you voted on.
If you want to text Jennifer, we're getting close.
You think so?
All right. I got two more in front of her.
So we got old business and then.
Yeah, I guess we got old business.
Hold on. I'll text her. What the hell?
458, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 19 of 2016, amending the administrative code, modify the term of chairman and the clerk of the legislature.
I'll move it.
Second.
This is Chris Allen put this in, am I correct?
Yeah,
that's correct.
I have an amendment I'd like to make. In section one, in the first paragraph, where it's two-thirds of the way down, the capitalized boldface font, the last complete sentence where it says of at least 3/4 of the whole number of the legislature. I'd like that change to reflect 3/5.
In the resolve? The second resolve?
Yeah.
No, it's section one.
Oh.
It's in the law.
Oh,
itself.
Okay.
Yeah. Change it from 3/4 to 3/5. It's been some discussion amongst individual legislators, and this is something that has been agreed upon, and I'm willing and accepting of this.
Dave?
Oh, I don't care about the amendment. You want to do the amendment? I want to talk about the amendment.
I'll make a motion that we make that amendment.
Second.
All in favor of the amendment?
Aye.
Okay, Dave, you want to discuss the...
Yeah, I really... I have no problem with doing the clerk of the legislature for a 2-year term. Mm-hmm. But I think the political term for the chairman should be up for, as we always have done it. We have never, in fact, in my time, have we actually we had to turn somebody out, but I think the opportunity should be there without having to have a 3/5 vote. So my take is, I really don't think this is called for, and I don't think it's, nor is it good for the body.
Hector?
Actually was not me planning on speaking, but since
you put it,
but
since you,
but said, yeah, but I was just scratching. But if you want, but if you want, I'll speak on anything. I'm be very, very blunt. I've been back and forth on this for quite some time. We came to some middle ground on this 60% rule to basically that, by the way, will equal out to 14 legislators that could then remove a chair. So it's slightly more than a majority, clearly less than 2/3 or 3, and certainly less than 3/4, which our caucus would have been a short no on at that point. I echo some of what Legislator Donaldson just said, but by the same token, we also know that we've had lots of instability whenever we have these sort of votes coming up again. That said, it is what it is. I think we've only actually had one legislative chair only serve 1 year. And that was, Dr. Benjamin actually had 2 years. No. It goes all the way back. I'm trying to remember if it was actually after Pete. It was actually after Pete, I think. And I think that's because Pete left early to go and become commissioner over the Board of Elections, and I think they had somebody sort of placehold for the year, and then I think Lou Klein probably came in.
Lou Klein was elected. He served 2 years. He was
There's only been one chair ever in the history of this body who's only served one year. I think it's because Pete left. That's why I suspect.
Because we looked at the wall today and we thought Danny removed midway through one of his.
Danny always held it together. Danny was a master. Danny was a master.
Actually, what happened was small group of Democrats at the time. It was only like 6 or 7 of us. I don't remember what it was. I think it was maybe 5. But we all voted for Dan, and our vote put him over the top.
No, if anything, with Ward, I think they sort of learned the lessons of Danny, and I think the Republicans at that point decided to lockstep themselves all behind Ward. But anyway.
Well, that was because.
Do you want to split this, Dave?
Yeah, I could do that. Yep.
Two separate, if that's right with you, Chris.
Oh, you mean one vote for the chair, and then one vote on the.
We actually have.
Yeah, what were you supposed to.
I don't think that we can right here. I'll have to defer to Legislative Council on this. Our rules do permit. For the divisibility of resolutions, but that would require dividing the local law itself.
Itself, yeah.
Well, that's what you should do. It's two different issues. This is two different issues. It should be two different rule changes, I believe.
This is a charter change, so.
Yeah.
And if this takes effect, it's not going to affect what's going to happen in January, am I correct?
It's not.
Right, no.
It's not a charter change.
13 months.
Yeah, it's administrative code change. It's not a charter change.
Not a charter change. Charter would
local law amending the Ulster County Charter and amending the administrative code.
Well, if you amend the charter, then you got to go to the people.
This, I believe, all three councils have determined it's not giving or taking power away from anybody.
Because you're repealing, right? Because Section C-19 code is repealed, and a new section in Ulster County Charter to be added read as follows, right? And this is with regards to the clerk?
You're adding power because you're giving someone 2 years as opposed to 1 year term, then, if you're using it from that angle.
I don't believe that that was the opinion of legislative council. What? But I didn't request the opinion, nor did I author this law. So.
Well, actually, in that regard...
I served 4 years.
I didn't ask Chris.
I was elected each year.
Chris has not shared an opinion with you, right?
No. I mean, Erica maybe looked at this.
That's what I imagine.
Okay.
I mean, the clerk told me.
All right, we can look into that.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it's coming up for tomorrow.
Charter changes have to go through the people to vote on them, particularly if there's any power enhanced or taken away from any elected official. To me, it's enhancing a power.
The chairman's an appointed position.
An elected position.
He's elected by the body.
Elected by the body, not the people.
But, you know, no different than if you just say we decide we want to change the power of a, you know, that what the legislator can do, or what an executive can do, what the sheriff mm-hmm. can do, what any elected official can do. You must get an approval by the people because you're making a charter change for that.
I'd like to get an opinion on that for next month, and I also like to see these laws divided if possible.
So the opinion's on the divisibility and on whether the charter is implicated.
There's a divisibility question about whether or not we can divide the local law in committee.
Right.
Into two separate local laws. And then the other question is whether or not this would be a charter change that would require a mandatory referendum.
Understood.
You get that, Chris?
I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I mean, to be honest with you.
I mean, the divisibility of this to split it up so I could get a unanimous vote. Or it would, the resolution, rather than being possessive of it, the resolution itself would command a unanimous vote of the legislature, of people who are present at that monthly meeting, versus me putting it up as is, and me getting 17 or 18 votes for this and having it pass. I mean, I think it's a little bit over-analytical. I said, let's go with it as it is. I have the votes to get it to pass.
I'm fine with them being together. I'm fine with them being apart. I don't.
Well,
think
my feeling is this is two different resolutions, and they should be divided.
So this is a referendum item, right?
No, I don't. I mean,
that's debatable.
Okay. I was going to say because my counsel right now is going to get back. You guys probably heard it. Just text me back.
Nick is going to have an opinion on it next month.
Are we holding off for a month
now? We don't need to know now. I mean, this wouldn't go into effect until 2018 anyway, which would be after the next general election.
Agreed. I mean, ultimately, but then it means that then definitively we're already going to have a charter change up for the election in 2017, hypothetically speaking. Is that hypothetically speaking?
Hypothetically.
Because I realize that we're going to have councils, you know, sort of go back and forth on this one. Okay.
I mean, why are you're making changes to two different positions on one law? To me, I don't think, in other words, it should be set that way.
Each position has the same term currently, and each position is being changed
still,
to the same
you're
term.
Still making, there's no connection here. They each are elected separately. And henceforth, they should not be on the same resolution.
I don't agree.
I'm using common sense. I mean, I've been here for quite a while when it comes to these type of rules. And unfortunately, since certain people have arrived here, we seem to be changing the rules like we change our underpants.
Dave, I don't think there's anything that specifically says we have to separate
change
these.
My underpants.
They could be separated
more frequently.
I don't think necessarily have to be.
Well,
I don't know. It seems like they're all.
The question is, can they be separated?
I mean,
think
you put in like how many rule changes you put in the past 4 or 5 years?
I don't know.
That's a great visual, though.
Well, I'm going to interrupt you. I think the council has an opinion here.
Well, yeah, maybe, and also maybe a request for clarification. But if the issue is the resolution currently before committee divisible, I would tend to say the answer is no. You can't divide the local law the same way you could divide the resolution. The resolution is to set a public hearing. So I don't think you can divide those without dividing the underlying law.
Well, that's what we're talking about. Normally, when we take a look at things and you look at and you're dealing with more than one person or so on and so forth, in other words, no different when we turn around. We don't appoint a department head and appoint three of them at the same time. In other words, when you do those types of things, you make one of appointment, and therefore, if you're dealing with one position, you should be dealing with that one position because there are different opinions on each one of them. But more importantly, it is two different issues.
Hector and Carl.
I'm not here to go shill for the resolution, but I can understand why it was done this way. You're changing both positions.
It's still a law.
And it's actually, but it's still the same department, David. I mean, ultimately, it becomes it's the legislative department. You're now basically talking about changing the terms.
They are not tied together.
Yeah, they are.
They're not tied together.
They're spelled out in similar sections in Section C. One's in 17, whatever, and one's 19. It's still in the same section. It's still the same department. No, I'm saying I get why it was done this way.
They're each elected
so therefore,
to the same term on the same night.
I'm not trying to
steal from
anything, but I actually do understand why it was done that way. I get it.
But they're two different people doing two different jobs.
Yeah. Go ahead, Chris.
So to speak on my intent behind this, this resolution pretty much almost word for word was put up a year ago by a different sponsor, and it didn't make it out of committee, and it wasn't attempted to be executed through a petition of discharge. I myself had a personal preference for this. I had heard some feedback when the resolution was put up a year ago that there was some individual legislators that had felt that the previous version was a 2/3 vote, I believe, and it was expressed that that wasn't enough, that you know you could get a band of legislators together that disliked a particular chairperson, that if they weren't engaging in behavior that was unbecoming of the chair, or if they weren't doing such a horribly poor job that it was felt that they would have to be removed, that you could get a group of people that dislike them to get them out of there so that the number needed to be bumped up. So that's why I made it 3/4. And then after I introduced this resolution, I'm hearing feedback from the other direction. So I went back the other way and worked with the voices of, that voiced their opinion about 3/4 being too high. That's why I went back to 60%. In terms of the intent of why I did this, you know, I saw what happened to this legislature 2 years ago when we had a midterm vote for Chairman John Parity. I felt that it was destroyed the chemistry of this legislature. It tore my caucus apart. It led to a lot of hard feelings. It takes away from the work of the people that we do as legislators. When you have to go out and you have to vote for a chairperson mid-year, it doesn't make sense. I mean, we basically throw away the better part of 2 months worth of work that we're supposed to be doing because of this process. It should coincide with the election cycle, which is 2 years. We get elected every 2 years. Chairperson should be every 2 years, and the way that the amendment to this local law was written a year ago, they can join the clerk and the chairman together. So I kept it intact, and I played with the percentage to remove a chairman that was exhibiting behavior unbecoming of the office. And so these are, in a nutshell, these are my intentions behind this.
David.
Excuse me, I had my hand up before.
Carl, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, go ahead.
All right. I actually agree with this local law, but what I'd like to do, which I won't have the vote now, is to postpone until we get legal representation, legal counsel to be definitive on whether or not this could be split or has to be the way it is.
I don't think that we need to post. I mean, we can.
That's a policy issue as well as a legal issue. I mean, what Legislator Donaldson has articulated to me is a policy issue. He thinks they're separate and not necessarily implicate legal issue. It's a local law. What you're proposing to me is more of an amendment to this law. You're amending it or you're creating a new law. I don't think you can divide it by rule. You'd have to, in committee, propose an amendment. Would be what I would suggest.
The real question I think that the attorneys need to get together on, and I thought that they had been together on already, or it had been said to me that they had been together on already, was whether or not this would require a referendum. And I don't think that affects whether or not we would pass this resolution tonight, because if we pass it tonight, it's not going to, first off, we're going to head to public hearing, but then it's not going to go to referendum until next November, and it's not going to go into effect until after that referendum anyway, because it's going to start with the 2018 legislature. So,
Ken, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
If it goes to referendum, is it going to save us taxes, tax money?
You had to get them started, didn't you?
It'll increase productivity of the legislature. to remove some of the drama associated
We've had a policy that if someone wants these types of things split, we split them so people can vote on the separate issues. And that has been the policy that we've had, and when somebody asks for the split, we get split. So that you might want to take a look at that, counsel, because that's been our policy. The other thing is the caucus, what he's talking about, our caucus was torn apart long before the next vote. So his idea that it was it got torn apart because the vote is absurd.
Has it gotten back together yet?
No. And then the other aspect, a little bit better, but the other aspect is talked about was not about, and it was not about the idea of removing a chairman in mid-year, because you're not. They're serving their full year term. Well, we had a conversation at one point, if you remember correctly, and I brought it up about removing a chairman because I wanted somebody removed at one point. Because we had a problem with the way that person was operating. And that's where it came about to have the three quarters, because they felt the two thirds was not enough because it made sense. But the three fifths, this would be, that means you can remove them at any time with three fifths. My take on it is, again, I think they should serve out the first year unless they're really doing something pretty bad. And then if they're not, but they've been fine, then they get the vote, they have the vote. You know, they move on to the next one. And typically, they always do have the vote. You know, it would be pretty, in other words, they're not removed mid-year. But having said that, I really don't think that it ends productivity or anything else. And this goes along with the next resolution about the idea that a chairman is not allowed to change standing committees in the middle. I don't agree with that on either, just so we know, because, I mean, the chairman may need something changed. We have a number of reasons. I know I changed them in the middle midsection because it was something that wasn't done.
Let's not go and blend together resolutions, because I clearly have.
Well, we already blended the first one together. We had two blended into one as it is.
Okay.
Well, is that just point of information? So if I'm going to research it, is that a custom in practice on the Division of Local Laws?
We have a custom somewhat. If somebody wants to divide it, they redivide it.
Well, that's my other question. Is it an actual written policy, or is it a custom in practice?
Just I think it's more probably a custom.
Hold on, Kenny. With regards to appointments is when we've actually had that happen, in which, so for example, the IDA appointments.
Which is why, by the way, we built divisibility into all these rules changes that we don't like that I've done over the years.
But it was in fact that practice. Ken, let's just get back to the point, though. All right. So, just saying, That's the practice. So, for example, if they're all in the same resolution, by voting on them individually, you're not really changing anything in any, you know, you're still making the appointment one way or the other, or voting up or down on that said appointment. So that's the only time we've ever done divisibility, is with regards to appointments that are kind of done in bulk that are all happening at the same time, and that if somebody wants a specific vote on a specific person, we've allowed for that
right,
to happen.
The IDA is taken out. We do then the IDA and so on and so forth.
But not a resolution, though, because that is...
But it's a resolution you actually have to make, two different
but
people
you,
in
but
it.
But you have
a local law.
I understand, but
a
structurally,
law,
it's
right.
a local law. But structurally, you would need to go and basically make... You have to make a motion to divide. I mean, that, and then once you do right. that, you've now got... Yes, you technically have two separate things. However, you're then missing... Let me pull the damn... Do you have a, what resolution is it?
458.
458. Sorry, I lost my place in this damn book. Oh, stuff. And, counsel, this I seek your guidance on. At that point, when you do a motion to divide like that, you would need to... I mean, you'd be creating an additional, was it 4... Well, just whatever, 459, I guess, at that point, correct?
Or whatever unallocated,
and then you would need to.
Why don't they did it 458 to A or something?
Point one.
Yeah, they do that.
Actually, I think our tradition, by the way, I think it is A. We actually have a couple of those. We have a couple of those. No, we, but this doesn't happen often, but we have a couple of A's.
This can't be done that way. If it's the desire of the body to divide this into two. The proper thing would be to withdraw this one and then put back in two new ones.
I mean,
because
you could debate. I mean, honestly, I would probably argue, yes, most likely someone would go and withdraw and then resubmit as two separate items. I don't disagree with that. I'm just saying, but we have within our ability to divide if we want to.
But the resolution
sets a public hearing on the local law. You don't have the ability to divide a local law. Because you would essentially need to write a new resolution creating a public hearing and a new local law. It would be proposed local law number 19 and number 20, and you'd need a resolution to set a public hearing on local laws number 19 and 20.
It's not something that you can do in committee
tonight before the meeting.
I understand,
but you would separate public hearings or one?
And you would just
so it'd be $300 twice.
No, it happens the same night. It would happen in the same notice.
It doesn't matter. You still have to put another notice.
It would be separate advertising.
It's not $300 though.
I know it's up to $300.
I don't think that we've ever spent.
But it's double. It's times two.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that. Is this something that's going to come? I mean, so this passes. And I mean, what would be the legal detractor from this following through to becoming new change in the charter and law?
We don't find there to be a legal obstacle to it. The council had said that it's more of a policy, it's a policy decision of the body on whether or not you have both in the same law.
From a standpoint of individual legislators expressing their opinions, like I said before, this gives legislators an opportunity. If it's split, it gives them an opportunity to vote yes for clerk, no for chair.
That's the idea.
That's the idea. Okay. That's the very idea.
Okay, so if there's... Well, all right. I mean...
Are you cool with that?
Am I cool? I'm cool keeping it the way it is because I know I have the votes for it to pass, and I think I'm trusting the council's opinion right here.
You got the votes? Are you supporting it?
We call the vote.
Well, I'm saying...
Do you guys all agree to it in advance?
You really got to stop saying that, man.
You guys all agree?
Well, I got the vote. It's like basically everybody in the room has that reaction, man. You got to stop saying that. Even if you do have the vote, that's all.
I'm glad he's got the vote.
I was a yes when I put in last year, and I'm a no, and I will voice my opinion on the no.
But I mean, I think we have right now. We have information that's got to come back before we can do anything.
Well, council just got an opinion from Erica. She's telling me she did look at it. Does not feel that does not feel a referendum is required. But that's the referendum issue. That's not the divisibility issue. I still think it's an amendment that you're really proposing here.
But the amendment would necessarily... All right. How is it... it really comes back to whether or not you could divide or not. And that basically, I think, is the overarching question. In terms of amendment, what would you'd end up basically deleting out this section and then putting in a new resolution for the other section.
We can't divide. Sponsor here.
Well, yeah,
he doesn't want to divide.
And there you go. But it becomes a thing. So therefore, I would still argue, I'm not even advocating for this, but I'm saying, but I will argue that you can go and divide out, and you would basically just, at that point, then find, you've got this local law number.
What local law is this one?
Well, no, I mean, the
10.
No. 19. Sorry, no, there it is. No, it had to be 20. That's all.
All right, let's take a vote on 458.
In the top of the headers is local law number 19.
Right. I protest and they're not divided. And if I, you know, okay,
I mean,
I'm lucky. I have attorneys ready to work, and I'm sick of things like this that are not divided when we can actually have a vote, and you can divide the thing and then let people have their vote on it. I mean, the idea that it's not divided, that you try to throw two things in and shove it down everybody's throat, I think is wrong.
Point
two different items here. Two different items should have two different votes.
I
support the one side of it. I don't support the other.
Mm-hmm.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No. Thanks, Hector.
Oh.
We're going to go with 459, amending the rules of the order to ensure standing committee assignments correspond with the terms of the legislature.
I'll move it. Second.
Well, we pretty much beat it to death the last half hour. Everybody knows how we feel, I guess. So, all in favor?
On this one, which one is this?
This is what the committee said.
So, in other words, a chairman's not allowed to change committees.
Mr. Hunt, if I may, orders of the day. Mr. Chair, just so we have actually a recollection on what the vote count was on 458. Are you a yes or a no?
What does that say?
It says disapprove.
No.
How many people in the room? Oh, you replaced Richie, right?
Yeah.
Do we want to talk about 459 or?
Could it stop that, Hector?
All in favor of 459?
Move on to the next public
hearing. Now, the problem is with 59 is, in other words, I don't get this. So, in other words, the chairman, if somebody's not showing up to meetings and not doing the right thing, they don't have the right to, like, remove the guy?
A chairman can't be spiteful and kick somebody off a committee?
Same thing.
Yeah, I get it.
That happens, but that's part of it.
And as somebody who suffered that indignity by a capricious chair, you know, I've
you take offense.
I do, actually. That's actually one of the things where it's like, this one, actually, I got a little bit more...
Well, I mean,
I've been on the receiving end of that one. It ain't pretty.
And I've seen it where I had to do it. I mean, I had a person that wasn't doing the job, and I had to.
and I understand that, but by the same token, I've also seen where, you know, an abusive. Someone in that chair, vengeful and abusive, goes and causes wholesale chaos to the legislature as a result. You know, and don't get me wrong. People, I think, actually stood. People actually stepped up, thank God. And I think, as a group, those who were affected, you know, found ways to contribute and, in fact, even thrive. But that's in spite of the individual who was being spiteful.
Right. Well, what about the minority leader that does the same thing? Seems to be spiteful after.
Well, if we're going there, David. At the very least, I've always shown you respect. And in fact, the chairman, when your committee sentence actually happened, now, didn't they?
For a vote, you didn't have much choice.
Can we get a vote on this?
Aye.
I'm a no.
Aye.
Aye.
I'm a no. We're We're going to jump back to number 2425, condemning violence and hate speech and expressing solidarity with Muslims and all those targeted for their ethnicity, race, or religion.
I'll move it. I'll second it.
Discussion?
I actually take offense just on the heading of the resolution itself. And I, when this first came last week, when I first saw it, I immediately wanted to...
I was going to say, it was a month ago.
A month ago, all right. I wanted to scratch off with Muslims and expressing solidarity, because I truly believe that violence and hate speech are targeted with every ethnicity. I can't say that.
Ethnicity.
And so it's kind of narrowing, down something. And I'm not even sure if this is a memorializing resolution or some kind of hint of county policy. Is this a memorializing resolution? Or is this a policy?
It's clearly a sense of the legislative body.
It's a statement. That the legislative body is going on record.
Of the legislation. Excuse me, a policy.
No.
The only, if I could just refer you, we talked about this briefly beforehand. So it just doesn't seem to be asking to be forwarded to any other body for any action to be taken or not taken, which the rules seem to define a memorializing resolution as such. So any resolution memorializing the New York State Legislature, Congress of the United States, or anybody taking action will not require a home rule message to be submitted, considered in committee, et cetera, et cetera. That's under the heading memorializing resolution. So I take that as a defining term as to what is or is not a memorializing resolution. So I don't see that in this one. I just pulled the TPP resolution from last month, which does obviously have that. It sends it on to Barack Obama and the Congress and Senate and the governor and so on. So if there was going to be some recipient of this, from a procedural perspective, or if it was just to be made clear that it is a memorializing resolution, that might, that might address that issue.
Mm-hmm. And I also take offense that there aren't other. It's basically targeted at the mistreatment of our Muslim population, and I would be okay with all ethnicities, not just Muslims, because we all live in this world, and just like Italians or Jews, Muslims,
why not?
Throughout history, we've all been the target of violence and hate.
I know, I understand what you're saying, Carl, but on the other hand, it's sort of like the same argument. I know a lot of people get bothered with the Black Lives Matter argument, and they point out that, oh no, all my lives matter. Yes, all lives do matter. The point of Black Lives Matter, the very point of that is that you're trying to point out, because they are not necessarily being considered when being dealt with in certain circumstances. So it's no different when I turn around and I say that veterans' lives matter. We should be taking care of them. Yes, it doesn't mean that nobody else, that we shouldn't look at taking care of anybody else. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean that only Black Lives Matter or only Veterans Lives Matter or only Blue Lives Matter or whatever the case may be. What this is doing is looking at a situation at this point in time in our history is they are being targeted. And Muslims are being targeted at this point. And as a result, I believe that we're going on record that we will not tolerate that type of targeting, and that we see that is wrong. And that's basically that's what it's attempting to do.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So You know, firstly, I don't mind if we decide to go and provide additional clarity. That's fine. I'm really just glad, to be very blunt, I think I'm really just glad to have the debate, considering last month we didn't really get the chance to have the debate. But, you know, this clearly gets into some, you know, some of the things in America that we know are happening. You know, we know people are being targeted. There has been an uptick in violent action against people of color and you know, Muslims, you know, even specifically. And, you know, look, I mean, I thank God I was born in Poughkeepsie, New York. And please let the president know, or rather the president-elect know, that Puerto Rico is, in fact, part of the United States in case he tries to deport me there.
That said,
I want to make sure that while I realize that there are people may have issues. Oh, well, you know, we're not respecting all faiths. We clearly know that there are certain people being targeted very specifically because of certain religions. Okay, if people were prosecuting specifically, I don't know, Pentecostal Christians. I'd include Pentecostal Christians in this particular, you know, a resolution. I say that because my grandmother, God rest her soul, was a Pentecostal Christian, by the way. So it's a thing where if we knew of specific groups, you know, they'd be at it. By saying all ethnicities or all creeds and colors, you actually diminish what's actually really happening in this country right now. You do. While I understand that there may be certain things in here, the resolution, of course, is important in totality. Well, if there are certain resolution or certain whereas that are offensive, fine, delete them. But I think the overarching point of what Ms. Berkey has put together, I think is important. And I think it's important for a sense of this legislature that we pass it.
I'd just like to also point out that, and I thank you for your very eloquent statements, fellow legislators, that in the whereas we're saddened and outraged, it does talk about immigrants and all people of color. In the bottom whereas, it does say against any of our constituents. And in the title, it says, and all those targeted for their ethnicity, race, or religion. So I think the point here is, if it were me in 1933, I would want you to pass this resolution. If tomorrow there are children in our schools who are Mexican, whose parents are targeted, I would want us to pass a resolution for them. I don't see how there can be an argument against the idea that today there is a proposal or there is a pending proposal for some kind of registry.
No, there's not.
There is a pending proposal for some kind of registry.
I'd like you to bring in that proposal and put it on this desk and show me where there's a proposal that's before the Congress about a registry for minors.
Is there a written down
version of this that you've seen?
What is the proposal? It's in his platform.
And besides, she's speaking. Let her speak.
It's in the platform. And to deny that it's present is to deny that this is going on. I don't think anybody wants to deny that this is going on. The Southern Poverty Law Center has had 700 reports in the past 2 weeks of violence against people of different ethnicities just on that basis, more than in 2 years. I don't think anyone can deny it's going on. I wouldn't want to deny if it were going on for someone in your family. I wouldn't want someone to deny if it were going on in my family. And so I want, you know, then they come for me. Is that what you want? Do you want, I mean, who will speak for me if I don't speak for them?
I believe that the Congress of the United States will never let that happen. First off, if they say it's Muslims in Japanese internment camps, yesterday. In the 1940s, let's bring up what was going on back then and say it's going to
Japanese internment camps were cited as a precedent for this. for the
by
registry.
Whom?
I'll share it with you later.
Okay.
You want me to come fully briefed to every debate? What, this is a part-time job.
I think somebody misspoke on the news. Is what you're referring to? I've seen that too.
Probably,
But I'm just saying these are very close surrogates, and I think that we have to be clear that kind of rhetoric is not acceptable here. That's what this is about. That's all this is about.
And I don't think
anyone can be offended by that.
Well, it does mention, you know, it says all those targeted, but it does mention Muslims at least 9 times by name.
Well, right, because I think that is probably the most threatened class at this moment.
And I read something the other day that violence against Muslims has gone up 127%, and you're like, wow, that's outrageous. But, you know, it jumped up from maybe, and I'm going to throw these numbers out because I forget the actual, it jumped up from 125 to 185. That's where you get the 65%, you know, increase. So, you know, any group religion that's targeted just because of who they are is offensive. But this resolution, to me, is all over the board. I mean, you look at resolve number 2, rejects political tactics of conspiracy to manipulate voters or to gain power or influence. I mean, where is that coming from?
You're kidding, right?
No, I'm not kidding. I wouldn't be asking you.
It also might be moot only because
people
this was
fighting all over the country right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you don't think that the divisiveness of this campaign has had a role?
This resolution was put out before the election results.
Right, it was in October.
Well, yeah.
Right.
No. This was going on. This was brought forward because of what was going on, and you could see that it was going on.
What was going on?
Oh, do you really want me to go through the list? Do you want me to go through the list for the recording?
Yeah, please.
Rapist,
because the recording doesn't know what this means.
Huh? But okay, I mean, like there was an instance of a guy who had brought a gun to a polling place in Texas. Remember, there's certain states that actually have early voting, by the way.
He had a concealed carry permit.
I got it, but for Christ's sake,
poll numbers went up, not down, every time this kind of divisive rhetoric took place. This person made it further than any other candidate as a result of this, not in spite of it.
Carl and Hector.
Well, like I said before, I think the title of this resolution, condemning violence and hate speech of all those targeted for their ethnicity, race, or religion, I would put my name on it if that changed.
Just the title?
Okay. Well, no.
Okay.
I am.
No. Okay. Oh, good. Changing the title? Fine. We're done. Carl, you're on board.
Let's move it.
Everybody, go off and let me speak.
Are you making a friendly amendment?
Okay,
yes. And then I don't have a problem with the first whereas. I think that's perfect.
Me too.
Strike the second whereas. Strike the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh. I'll take the eighth whereas.
Hold on. Slow down.
Okay.
This is fast and furious. So let's
whereas.
See. Carl, slow down. What's the second?
Here.
So the second, the third.
The second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh. The eighth whereas, I would keep it.
All right.
All right. The ninth whereas, I would keep, except I would cross out directed at Muslims who perceive to be Muslims, and instead add speech and violent action directed against immigrants and people of color, and let it further resolve that Oakland County Legislature commits to pursuing a policy affirms. I don't like the second resolve, so I won't.
Right. Now, why are you leaving the people of color there? What about people that aren't color? Then, according to your
immigrants, and
I actually have that in mind.
It actually aren't nine.
I mean, why?
I'm not done with my amendment. The second resolve to strike and keep the third, and not sure about the fourth because basically the fourth is good too.
The fourth is the one you should love.
I also, if I could just jump in, Mr. Chairman, I also think that we should add in, gender and political ideology to people who should be protected from hate speech, because I know that there are very many people around the country today who are being bullied or intimidated or beaten or protested or you know, or targeted for hate speech because of how they voted in this past presidential election.
I need this right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's that say?
Yeah.
Can I get that?
No, I don't know.
Can you read it out one more time?
Well,
are you planning on making an amendment, Mr. Chair?
Well, Legislator Valfilia was talking about some possible changes.
So do you want to go and address
them?
Because he's made a motion. Is there a second?
I need your title change one more time.
Condemning violence and hate speech of all those targeted for their ethnicity, race, or religion.
So you're just picking out...
expressing solidarity.
Right, with Muslims.
Well, no, we could do condemning violence and hate speech and expressing solidarity with all those targeted for their ethnicity, race, religion, or political views. Or gender. And gender.
That in the title.
Yeah.
Any other reason?
And I appreciate the one about political views. I think we have to have a better dialogue.
Agreed.
Sure.
Gender identification.
What was that? Gender identification, you said?
Okay.
I'm fine with that.
Can you make that amendment back there?
Jay's working on it.
I'm trying.
Okay.
I believe Mr. Ronk will be the one offering that amendment, but I'm sure he's crowdsourcing. Sure he's crowdsourcing where the things come. All right. So the proposal at this time is to go and to delete... Well, it's to change the title and then delete out whereas is 2 through 7. And Carl, just so you know, there's only 8 whereases in this thing, not 9.
No.
Was there a 9th?
Did I say 9?
He meant the first resolved.
He meant the first resolved, I know. But just
it's not a 9th whereas. 2 through 7. Title, right? But we'll get that. 2 through 7.
It would leave the first and last whereas.
Right. Make it short and sweet. We will not tolerate this kind of behavior
toward anyone.
Can you second it?
Yes.
Could
I ask?
Resolve number 2, right?
Could I ask, since we're talking about removing and so forth, amending, that number 6,
whereas number 6?
If we're going this way, that we are saddened and outraged at the recent escalation of whatever kind, out against Muslims, mm-hmm. and those perceived to be Muslims, and leave in immigrants and all people and all the descriptions of people that we included. Why aren't we sad about that? We're all sad about that. Are we not?
I'm very sad.
I'd be fine with that.
Okay.
I'm very sad.
So if you want to revise that clause to include all the gender identity and... Do you want me to read it back to you?
No.
Okay.
I am saddened by the hate speech that's going on across our country right now against all of the above, all of the ones that we mentioned in the title.
Yeah, I'm going to mean that again. Who wouldn't be? And I think that it's important to state that.
But I think it's also important to state at some point that, I mean, in the whereas that you're talking about where you were saddened there, is that I believe right now you should mention right now that there is a certain amount of hateful rhetoric against Muslims at this point. In our history, there's been other.
True. Well,
and
true.
I really
there
think
has.
That's the point, and I think that it's good has. For the Muslim community to hear something like that.
I agree with you, and I think if it's not going to get to the floor, I still want to see something happen here. I think we can talk about that all day long. I read about a woman in Iowa whose child care I'd rather wait for Mr. Ronk to come back.
I don't agree with keeping concern to see political figures and elected government officials leading to the escalation and use of it. But basically, you're making accusations against a broad group of political elected officials and government officials. And that concerns me because I am
an elected
official.
There you go.
And what you're saying is because of my
political
party,
because
I'm an elected official.
All right, if you want to take that, if you want to amend the way that sentence reads, I would like to see some statement come out of our legislature that says county will not tolerate this. Whatever however generic we want it to be.
And we are particularly concerned.
No, I don't want to make it totally generic, but I'd rather see something rather than nothing.
All right, so what do we got?
I just wanted to say that I do agree, while Dave, I agree with you. Well, I agree with you about the Muslims.
One thing, the one that you were talking about, one, two, three, four, five, six, number six. You leave that whereas in there, and except for, you take the last, after the comma of color, about concerned about political figures, directly government officials leading this. I don't think that really needs to be in there.
Right.
Number six.
So am I having deja vu or something? That's exactly what I said.
Right. So what? No,
that's what I said. But
no, I just wanted to restate it because we
don't want to leave them in there.
They're the ones that are right now being targeted.
We are okay with removing the political figures leading the escalation.
Yes.
Good with removing that. Jay, are you? You got that right.
Yes, you got it.
Carl said.
Yeah. That's fine.
Except for his title.
And then Dave, legislator Donaldson, as you guys left the room, was speaking of. Wishing to see the specificity of Muslims not deleted, and while I agree,
I think they deleted in most of it, but I think that one just talks about the present situation. So all you're doing is saying we're saddened and outraged by recent escalation of that. Just in other words, but
and it has escalated. I mean,
as a point, and that's it. Yeah. It's not, in other words, saying that we're just going to protect Muslims.
Right.
We're
no one's accusing
that as a point.
No one's accusing anyone here of that.
Right.
We're just talking about
and
it
that was
being
the
there.
Problem with the other part of it. Like, yeah.
I mean, I have to say. Yesterday I read about a woman in Iowa whose child care provider is no longer providing child care to her half-Mexican child. And it's horrific. And there are children in the Kingston schools who are terrified. So I hear of that hate speech happening as well. So I'm not sure whether I think it's necessary to single it out. I'm glad that you think we should. If you all agree, I would like to see that happen, because that's the way it was proposed. No one is trying to offend anyone here.
Neither of the two, if I could just jump in, neither of the two things that you've just stated were about Muslims.
What I'm saying is that we could begin, you know, picking off all sorts of offensive things that are happening. A cemetery desecrated in Warwick. I mean, it just goes on and on.
The amount of swastikas that have popped up literally all over this country.
Right. Yeah. So I wonder, Dave, if at this moment, selecting one, while I agree, it is maybe the most egregious and frightening, is not the only. And I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not arguing against my legislation. I would just like to see that it be as universal as people would like to be, and we need to say generic.
We appreciate that.
What?
We appreciate that. And I'd like to make a... Jay's going to rewrite this, and maybe if we could have a special meeting tomorrow at 6:50 to vote on it as rewritten.
Is that in between pizza?
That's after pizza.
No, pizza's at 4:50 to 4:55.
It's after.
Is it?
I'm kidding.
Oh.
Caucus. Something like that.
It'd be right after caucus.
After caucus and before session.
Can I just read the title and then we can and then you get it back. I rewrote the title. I think I included everybody's suggestions, but I just want to run it by everybody. Condemning violence and hate speech and expressing solidarity with all those targeted for their ethnicity, race, religion, gender, sexual orientation, or political views.
I think we were going to say gender identification rather than sexual, because that word, remember the whole thing about that.
That's fine. Yeah. Gender identification or gender orientation?
Gender identification.
Identification.
Thank you.
One small step for gender kind.
Did I miss anybody's suggestion?
Political ideology.
That was the last one. Political ideology. I'll do that instead of political views.
Actually, I think I like views better.
Excellent.
Do you agree?
No, my capacity for caring at that particular level is like
that. No, my analogy, I think, sounds a little
too
tilted.
That's great. Yeah.
Okay. That part I have no opinion on.
Okay.
And then we add all those.
And then we're removing whereas 2 through 7.
No.
Adding back 6.
Well, I was going to say, so we're deleting 2, 3, 4, 5, 7. and six is being amended.
Six is being amended, and then...
And then we're deleting out two.
And we're deleting the words Muslims, comma, those seem to be Muslims, comma, from the first resolve.
Yeah. And resolve number
and
two.
And adding all of the groups from the title.
That's right.
In the seventh whereas.
Look, I'm fine with that.
Six. The sixth whereas.
In the sixth whereas, you're also strike getting Muslim. Rid of, and we are particularly concerned to see political figures and elected
officials.
Right, we're doing all
You know why? Because it's victimizing an entire population of people. It's not
in six.
It's not helping them. It's victimizing them.
Right.
Because
from the end.
I don't want to be living my life the way the Constitution says I can in this country, and I'm not being bothered. I might be bothered by the fact that my government is trying to put me into a class to say that I'm being totally discriminated and being hate.
I can assure
think
you,
that's the way
it's brothers and sisters don't feel that way. Right.
So you want to vote on this now, or vote on the amendment?
I clearly had that moment where I realized I'm the only non-person.
we could
and I'm kind of
vote on the amendments and then
have Jay
and then have Jay rewrite them, and then I feel like I'd be more comfortable looking at this.
Well,
as a
I was
going to
say, but just that's why I'm on the same page. So resolve the second resolve is being deleted, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
And then what are we doing with resolves 1, 3, and 4?
The first resolve, the way I have it written, the Ulster County Legislature condemns, resolve that the Ulster County Legislature condemns all hateful speech and violent action directed at, insert the, all the groups in the title, and be it further resolved that the Ulster County Legislature commits to pursuing a policy agenda that affirms civil rights or human rights and shows that those targeted on there, insert all groups from
the title. All right, can turn to the government without fear of recrimination. And
resolve that the Ulster County Legislature reaffirms the value of a pluralist society. I added cultures and ideologies, but it doesn't. I'm not tied to that.
Let's drop ideology one.
I'm fine.
Yeah, I think
so. All right. Okay. So that's what we got. Jennifer, do you consider all those friendly-ish amendments? What do you?
It's mom and apple pie.
I understand that, but you're the prime sponsor. I know, but you're the prime sponsor, so therefore.
I'm fine with it. I like the fact that we make this change.
Okay.
Thank you, Jim.
So since it is, in fact, a friendly amendment has been specified, do we still need to actually have that meeting or no?
Well, I think we should look at it.
Okay. As a whole.
All right. No problem. Yeah. So then, in that case, then I guess I would then move to postpone this till tomorrow.
We're going
to
vote on the amendments. All in favor of the amendments?
Aye.
Aye. And in that case, then I would
have a meeting tomorrow at 6:50.
Sure. So then I move to postpone
as amended
to this 6:50 meeting tomorrow.
Yes.
Ken?
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Wait, no. Did you leave out saddened? We're saddened. Right.
We left saddened in.
Yeah, saddened in. That's where I was number six.
We're still sad.
We're still sad.
You're glad that we're sad.
Yeah, give me a deep breath.
Thank you.
All
nice
right.
Pivot.
Sorry, did you have this plan the whole time?
No. I don't even know. That's for me to know. You to find out.
Okay. Right. Oh, we did
you outsmart us on this?
So I think it was a good way of. That was a nice bit of sausage making. That was a good way to put it.
So we're gonna put old business off until after the new year.
Hold on. Because let's have that conversation now, Mr. Chair, considering you just made a declarative statement. and it's more of a question. So 411, 412, 448, right? Since they've all been sort of just lumped together like a TV dinner. So the question I have is this. We were trying to set up a meeting for next week, next Monday.
Well,
to actually have
448 is not needed anymore, is it?
Well,
the
sponsor had requested that it be included in this. I'm going to honor that. So, more importantly, we tried to basically go and get together for a meeting next week. Apparently, now it does not work.
That was November 28th, right?
Yeah, that Monday. So, at this point, we're trying to find a new date. And, Mr. Chair, I know we had, you know, we'd originally, I think, hoped for maybe the 6th, 7th, or 8th, but I'm not quite too sure how that really
and
works
what's
out.
What's the distance from a public hearing that you need to have?
Now, why doesn't that work, first of all?
Hold on.
It works for me.
Oh. The
28th? Yeah. Did somebody send out a notice saying we're not having it?
No, we're having that discussion now because it came up as a concern, and I said we'll discuss it now because we all are.
Sounds like right?
By the way, don't talk while you're kind of coughed up in your mouth. Okay.
One thought that was brought about, if I could just jump in really quick. One idea that was brought forward was creating a subcommittee of laws and rules to discuss these things, because then you wouldn't deal with noticing and quorum and all those other and all the things that go along with it.
I think the question is that we had looked for consensus to whatever objectionable language there might be, so we could in fact get it out of committee. That would be difficult if it's a subcommittee.
Because, I get what you're saying, but she is also raising a very, you know, salient point. If the subcommittee is me, Dave, and Rich, right? Okay, well, that's...
We still don't have the votes, right, if we don't get agreement.
On Resolution 448, I mean, I think that we're... I mean, I could be completely wrong on this, but I believe that we're at a relative impasse because, you know, our legislative council both feel that the only thing that we would be able to do is refer complaints to the State Human Rights Commission, and minority council says that does not agree, and the sponsor does not consent to that being the solution. So.
But, however, insofar as what 411/412 do, you know, again, we have some measure of time. However, that will rapidly close. Remember, you know, if we are trying to go and get this for a vote, because it would hypothetically be a charter change, although I actually am double-checking on that one as to whether or not that is. I have Chris looking at that one as well as the other thing that we discussed earlier. Hypothetically, you know, then that means it goes on the ballot in 2017, regardless of whatever we pass. Even if we voted it tonight, it would still go for a vote in 2017 no matter what. So it's not as if that there's a massive rush on that particular part of it, but... What my fear right now is, as I know the chair was being glib, the reality is, people get filled up with, you know, holidays and other stuff in between. There's various conflicting committee meetings, and that's why I was really hopeful that the 28th was what was going to work, and it seems like it was, and then suddenly it didn't. So,
Dave, when Hector's done?
Well, 448, I mean, your council says that you can't do this or something, 448?
Yes. The enforcement section.
So we can. So what we can do is just, you know, we'll have a vote in committee. Call for a vote in committee, and then we'll do a motion to discharge and let it move forward.
I think we had a vote. It passed in committee, but sponsor pulled it from the floor. I don't know.
Exactly.
No, it wasn't passed in committee.
Yeah, it was.
I pulled it from the floor because I was concerned I would not have the votes, and I would like to ask this question to those who are more well-versed in this kind of impasse. So the question is, if we have differing views of our council, and we don't know, in fact, what the higher sort of legal thinking would be on this. Whether, in fact, it would be possible.
Yeah, I remember.
Whether one were right or the other, is there a higher authority that can render an advisory opinion so that we can break this impasse?
And I don't think the impasse is the legal opinions. I mean, we're going to follow our council's opinion. Democratic Caucus is going to follow Chris's opinion. I mean, that's where we're at. We're at a kind of a, you know, where it's not like we have two lawyers, you know.
But if you have a vote, you have a vote.
I'm looking for the key. The key is finding an alternative than sending it to the Human Rights Commission. Even if it was legal, I'm mm-hmm. not saying it is, it would still be an expansion of their powers, and I would be tending not to support an expansion of government powers. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you look for a department in the county that may be able to oversee a business that commits fraud or something, maybe like consumer fraud, would that be something that might be able to get this through?
No, because I think we're talking about the civil rights here, and it's not just business conduct.
It incorporates a lot of different things over a host of different, you know, categories / you know, subject areas. So mm-hmm. it's housing, it's employment, it's, you know, it's
right.
it's a couple of just, you know, different areas that that encompasses. I mean, I'm still, I apologize because I sort of, so now we've morphed into a couple different things. I'm still just trying to basically make sure we get a date that we actually can either A, we get a date, or B, that we, if we decide to go the route of a subcommittee, then we go the route of a subcommittee. But I want to get clarity on either one of those issues right now, if
right.
I can.
We still can get the weeds again.
My opinion on the subcommittee, I'd like to see that subcommittee expand it where it doesn't fall under the jurisdiction of laws and rules, because you, Jennifer, would like to probably get your opinion and vote on the subcommittee. Tracy has expressed interest on it.
Yep.
So I think this might be a beyond our reach, and maybe the chairman could appoint a committee to take care of this.
He's talking about for the discussion.
No, I understand that, but it's...
Go ahead.
Sorry. So here's the thing. This is completely within our purview with regards to we are the committee where local laws are either formulated or they come to, right? And specifically with regards to things like, you know, human rights, you know, that this is the committee where it would come from. Now, while there are other people interested, of course, and they participated even in the last meeting that we had, right, where former Chairman Donaldson, you know, ran the meeting, and, you know, as deputy chair, we were able to arrange it at that point, so we were able to kind of get a good crowd of people there. So it's not as if participation is limited.
Hector?
Yes, sir.
I appoint you chairman of this committee. Take care of it. Come back to us.
Who else?
When you get some answers.
Who else on this committee is on the subcommittee?
You appoint them.
I am pretty sure that that's not allowed, but okay.
It is today.
I would like to ask if anyone who is not attending that meeting could at least share their any suggestions, objections that they would like brought to the committee. I appreciate that, because I don't want this to be another Shaggy Dog story.
Fair enough.
We need to resolve this.
Fair enough.
So if you're empowering me to go and basically nominate a subcommittee, then fine. Then it's me, Donaldson, and I don't know, Carl.
I'm
you want to
committed?
What's that?
I'm over committed right now. I cannot.
I
take
won't
on
be
another
here for next week.
I got that part of it. I'm just saying, right now, this is more about just going forward. I needed to figure out: are we trying to set a date for the whole committee, or if we are doing a subcommittee at that point, then I'm only dealing with three people. So therefore,
well,
it is what it is.
Subcommittee. I mean, well, I guess the subcommittee can call in, right? If I'm not here, I can always put me on.
Sure. The hypothetically, sure. All right, fine. Then
we can't vote on a regular committee, but if subcommittee has to bring everything back to the full committee.
Agreed. Because here's the thing. There's only five people on this bloody committee, which means I need three people. So therefore, that's one, that's two.
I'm fine.
Carl?
I'm on laws and rules, health, ways and means, and I'm on government efficiency and review. I'm on four committees.
Oh,
join
the club. I've been there.
Other subcommittees. I'm on UCAN, Ulcer Prevention Council.
Community action. And in the two years during the course of Chairman Wadnola, I was on five permanent committees, and I was also on three different subcommittees. So I got it. I understand.
Usually, don't you nominate people in absentia? Legislative Parity is not here.
Maybe you could change that previous law and get kicked off some of those committees.
You can't, because once you're on, you're on. That's it for 2 years.
Hey, Carl, we need Republican.
Come on, Carl.
I second the nomination.
There you go. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're welcome.
All right, because I wasn't nominating you.
All right, well,
gotta
be next Monday.
What's that?
Got to be next Monday, the 28th.
Why? When are you?
That's when I was available.
All right, so then let's do the 28th. Dave, you're going to call in, right?
You tell me.
Call in?
All right, yeah, Dave's going to call in.
Jay,
yeah.
Hold the library for him.
Thank you.
So what's the date?
All right, the 28th. Next week when we were going to.
So what about tomorrow? We have this meeting at the same time.
No, isn't it tomorrow? I thought it was that Wednesday.
Mm-mm. No, it's the
28th. Tomorrow is session.
I gotta get the book. 28th, 6 p.m.
Sounds like we're realizing why the quorum problem was happening.
28th. I even wrote it down. Was a special meeting.
What time? 6 p.m.?
No, it'll probably be 6 p.m., but if we're having all tomorrow at the same time, I can't be in two places at once.
Neither can I.
Members of the subcommittee can get together on a time and
legislative right, Carl,
staff will...
Carl, are you going away somewhere in the next 2 weeks?
I can't. I'm on 4 committees. 3 I can't take a vacation.
How about this, Mr. Chair? Mr. Chair, we'll inform you as to when we're meeting.
There you go.
All right.
Hector, run that through Jay.
I can't look
I know.
That forward.
Uh-huh. All right, Carl.
We'll be adjourned. All right.
We'll figure it out, Carl.
All right, you as the chairman of the subcommittee, we'll figure it out.
You and Carl figure it out.
And then you'll arrive when you arrive.
You'll call us. We won't call you as long as it's
yeah. I'll okay. Let you guys make the decision on the
phone.
You guys agree, Audrey.
And that's never going to happen. There you go.
That's not necessarily
to be
done. We've agreed on things before.
All in favor.
Aye.
Aye.
Occasionally.
Aye. Yeah.